So some of what I say this morning will be very relevant to some of you and very irrelevant to some of you. And some of what I say this morning might be relevant to all. I don't know. I'm going to try and make it a little bit, you know, all over friendly. I wanted to start by just saying something that is just so self-evident, and that is that worship is not music. It just isn't. It never was. It never will be. But worship can be expressed through music. And music is just a glorious medium, isn't it? It's a God thing. God really likes music. He made it up. It's amazing. I was talking with Michael the other day just about the math of music, and God is the author of math, and interesting that he mixed math and music together. But it's just an incredible thing, music. And somehow, even though it's very mathematical, it absolutely unravels you to the core. It touches something in you that it seems like sometimes nothing else can touch. It could actually touch the hardest of hearts. It touches the soul, and God designed it that way. That's part of what God, that was part of God's wisdom in creating music. But worship is not about music. It is about a life laid down. And often when I teach on you know, a whole seminar on worship, I'll start from this point of view. There's always that law first mentioned in the Bible. The very first time the word is used in the scriptures is usually a very significant meaning for it sets a context for the rest of the Bible. And the first time that we ever find that word worship is in Genesis chapter 22. And it's in conjunction with the story of Abraham, who's going up the mountain to sacrifice his son. And he says to his servant, "I and the lad are going to go up the mountain to worship." Well, actually, what he was going to do was kill his son, because God had told him to do that. And so what you see just inherent in that very first mention of worship is this whole idea of sacrifice, of service. Abraham was a man who had laid his life down and was a friend. He was called the friend of God. And surrender. This was not something he wanted to do. It was his only son. He'd waited a long, long, long time for him. And God was actually requiring his life. And Abraham was willing, because he had settled the issue that God alone was worthy to be worshipped. That needs to be the foundation of who we are as believers. It is our very first and very highest calling. Before we are doers, before we are goers, we are beers. And the B part of who we are is the worshiper. That's why he made you. That's why he created you, to live in glorious fellowship and worship with him. One of the most frequent words in the New Testament is, I can't pronounce Greek. I hope there's some Greek scholars here that can help me. Is there a Greek scholar in the midst? Oh, that's sad. Maybe Dave knows. He went to Regent for a bit. There's a word called latruine. Latruine? Latruine? I want to do the German pronunciation, but I don't think that word washes with Greek. Say it. Oh, mine has an N on the end. Anyway, it means to serve. And that is the New Testament word. There's also douloine, which is that aspect of bond slavery, total dependence and obedience without the right of personal choice. That's what a bond servant is. So those are the New Testament words that are used. So we serve him. You can worship him by cleaning the gum off the bottom of the pews, which I remember doing right here in this building one day. We had a big work party, as I'm sure you often have, and somebody found some gum under the pew. And so we decided to have a look. And I was about 17 years old, and I was crawling on my back underneath the pews, screaming, and as we all were, because did we ever find a lot of gum? And that Sunday morning, I forget which pastor it was. It might have been Pastor Bob. Got up, and we had actually molded an idol. It was sick. It was this big, just as you know, a demonstration of demonic practice was. We handed him this, and so he held it up, and he said, "Could we just never, please, ever do this again?" Anyway, I digress. Service can be cleaning the gum off the pew. Service is worship. Service is worship, so when you come for a work day that you would rather not be at, it's worship. It's worship in the house of God. It's worship to the Lord. It's just worship. It's a life that is laid down to whatever he says to do, that says, "I choose you, Lord, not me. I choose your agenda, not mine." Servants exist for the benefit of others. And for those of us who are involved in what we would call front stage ministry, which is what I would be doing right now, standing at a piano, front stage ministry, that can be sometimes a really easy thing to lose sight of. And especially in this generation, we are obsessed with celebrity. You know, who's who in the world? You know, the hottest dressed people and who's in. And, you know, the magazines you see at the superstore that you don't buy, but you just walk past, but you look at them and sneer because they're so, you know, just horrible. This obsession we have with celebrity, we've brought that into the church. I don't know, some of you may know the name Catherine Scott. She's written a number of really great songs. She and I were talking one day, and she said she went to she's from Ireland. She went to a conference. It wasn't really a concert.